We have a, actually, we'll get you on the record. We'll come to order, and I'll move to take the, what House 15 sentence off the table. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. It's off the table, and let's talk. And the meter is running, and so is the timer. So tell us who you are, and tell us your story.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Craig Eagle. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Minnesota Department of Health. I'm here to once again walk through the governor's proposed budget as introduced in House File 1571. This is the actual bill. Rather than walk through the actual document, I've passed around a spreadsheet that looks like this that all of you should have, as well as a fact sheet. And I'd be happy to talk about the items again. We've talked about this once before in this committee. To talk about the items of interest to this committee, and if there's questions about where these items can be found in the bill, I'd be happy to answer those. The bill, the governor's recommendations for this committee include two funding initiatives, one for the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey at $550,000 a year, and the other for our e-health initiative, funded at $350,000 a year. The Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, as I mentioned before, is our primary means of understanding kind of the condition and status of chronic diseases here in Minnesota. It's primarily a phone-based survey, but we are not able to continue that survey as all other states are doing because of funding cuts from CDC. This will allow us to continue to operate this national program and allow us to expand this program to gain race ethnicity data, which we need to accomplish our limiting health disparities goals and to augment our efforts under the statewide health improvement program, otherwise known as SHIP. The e-health initiative, we've had a long-standing program in this state to promote the use of electronic health records. The staff that are providing the technical expertise and guidance for that effort are funded under this. The money that we had for this initiative goes away at the end of this biennium. This would continue that work, which is particularly important in light of the money coming to the state for health information technology through the federal economic stimulus package. And so we see this as an important priority. The remaining, the next reduction on your sheet is the statewide health improvement program. The governor is suggesting that this program, which was passed at $47 million last year, which provides funding for the initiative over the next 2 years, be reduced in half and spread out over 4 years. The funding would remain at $6,000 per year, at which 10% of that would be to administer the program. Most of that money would be going out in grants to community health boards and tribes across the state. The next item, with our health reform effort, the essential benefit set, rather than doing an essential benefit set, as we discussed last time, the department and the governor proposes to do a value-based benefit set. We would do that study and provide those recommendations with our existing current resources in the Division of Health Policy, and we would save $540,000 one time in the coming biennium. The governor also recommends eliminating two grants. The first is a community health care demonstration grant in northeastern Minnesota. Representative Huntley is very familiar with this grant. The basis of the grant was to provide a five-year demonstration project to look at innovative ways to, in essence, promote health care coverage for individuals in that part of the state. The other reduction is that we also recommend reducing the supplemental Merck funding, which was going to the Mayo Clinic, which was part of a negotiated agreement as part of the Merck formula changes that happened 2 years ago. This money was scheduled to run out, as was the Community Health Care Demonstration Grant in the next biennium, and so this is ending the programs early. The final item at the bottom of your page, the Department of Health is facing an administrative reduction of 7.5%. We don't know how this will be allocated. This goes against our general funding. This division oversees a portion of our department. The other portion is in Representative Clark's committee. We haven't made any determinations about how that allocation will happen because we're still looking at options as related to the federal economic stimulus package and other factors in our budget. On the backside of your tracking sheet are four more items of interest to this division. There are four fee increases recommended in the governor's budget. The first is a duplicate license fee for the occupational therapist. This would actually create a new fee of $25 for a duplicate license, which is apparently of interest to occupational therapists to have more than one license for a number of activities, including putting on their walls and other activities. That activity is just generates some additional cost. The second item is the hearing instrument dispenser certification fee. This will change.
That was actually taken out yesterday.
Oh, what? I apologize.
Okay. So, we just tried to improve the bill a little bit.
Mr. Chair, I stand corrected. So the third item is the vital records technology improvement fee. This is a $2 surcharge that's scheduled to sunset on vital records this coming July. This would extend that fee going on in light of the expanded cost of running that program. And the fourth and final fee increase is the adverse health events program, which would generate new expanded fees in light of the increase in adverse health reporting to hospitals and ambulatory surgical centers in the coming years. As with all of our fee programs, these fees are developed to balance out revenues and costs over a four-year period.
Members, other questions? Captain Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Akam, the statewide health improvement program, just for the members' information, I don't intend in my bill to follow what the governor's doing here. Sort of on that, but another note, I was at a got a handout about that thick of things yesterday in the stimulus package, and I found your name on about 20 pages of those in terms of things that the stimulus package might send to Minnesota, and one of which is a, although we don't know the details yet, at least that's my understanding, is the health improvement plan. Basically, the feds are interested in funding the same kind of thing that we did last year. And so I'll announce today that Representative Root is going to be this committee's czar of the stimulus package, so that she will be following all these things. And I've mentioned this before, but we need to make sure that Minnesota has the best chance to compete for a lot of these funds. And so we'll be contacting, or Representative Root will be contacting you. But I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the federal money for the health improvement plan.
Mr. Akam. Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, that's a good question. We've been following that money as well. The money that Representative Huntley is referring to is there's $650 million allocated in the prevention and wellness portion of the federal economic stimulus package, which potentially could be used for programs akin to STEPS, which SHIP is based off of. Our current understanding of that funding is that there are no plans for how that will be disseminated to the state. In fact, we have heard rumors, which is all that is, of the $650 million, $550 million will be held at the national level for a bigger project, whatever that means. And so at this time, we don't have any information about how that will be implemented, but we do have an interest in seeing as much of that money flow in Minnesota, and we think that the leadership position and the infrastructure we put in place would make us very competitive if it was to be used for ship-like efforts.
That's going to help me.
That's fine.
Okay. Just while you're here, in a year you're going to start collecting this boxes of data. from the when the planet start turning data into you? He just spent a minute talking about how you're going to analyze that data and let us know what it says. Yeah. As part of the health reform.
Mr. Chair, I assume you're referring to the counter data. And, you know, I'm not the expert in the department in terms of how we will manage that process. But my understanding is that we are putting out a request for proposal to look for an outside vendor to do that analysis for us. And my understanding is that that has been awarded and that vendor has been selected. I don't have a lot of details beyond that, but I can be happy to come back to the committee with more information.
And that's in the budget?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that was in the previous health reform package that was passed last year.
That's the report. All right. Mm-hmm. Other questions from members? If you're off the hook. Oh, Webster Hunter.
I just had one comment. I misspoke. Representative Rood will not be the czar of the stimulus package. She'll be the czarina.
Well, thank you, Mr. Aiken. We'll be actually, is there something that to change tomorrow? And someone's coming to tell us the changes for tomorrow. Is there a part of your budget that will be part of that?
Mr. Chair, there is a change to our budget in light of the governor's packaging of his proposal. In light of the economic stimulus package, the Department of Health has requested and received in the governor's budget $4 million as a match, which we can use for health information technology. We did a quick analysis of the $1 billion that was available to states for grants and figured that 1/50th of that amount, but we don't know exactly how that will be distributed, would be about $20 million, and the match requirement for that would be about $4 million. In addition, there's also a provision in the economic stimulus package for a one-to-one match for a loan forgiveness program dollars for primary care providers and other clinicians who are willing to serve, particularly in rural and underserved communities. We have also asked for and received $128,000, which we will use to match $128,000 in the governor's budget toward that economic stimulus package proposal.
Is that the only changes then?
Those are the only changes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Aiken, you have to come back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Again, you know, on time and under budget, that's just how you do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Huntley, you have some bills. And while he's coming, the Her Regal Highness would like to move the minutes and as her first act in the office. Anyway, all those in favor, please say yay, sire. Aye. Aye. Opposed. Thank you. They're adopted. Sorry. Preston Huntley, yeah. Do you have a bill?
Mr. Chair, these are four different bills that were jointly put together by Senator Berglund and myself, and the intent is to include these in the omnibus bill, so I would move that eventually that House file, I'm not sure of the details how I do this, but ultimately it would just be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
So is that 1352 you're starting with?
So why don't I move 1362 first, and then when we get to the final motion, it'll just be the...
So if the House file 1362 be held over for possible inclusion in the...
And Mr. Chair and members, this simply requires the commissioner to apply for the maximum allowable federal matching funds. There is a new program, and we just will ask the Commissioner of Human Services to apply for the maximum amount of federal match. And this will then allow us to get a fiscal note when it gets introduced, and that should be useful when we put the budget together.
Members have questions? That's kind of rude, since this is your topic. Do you have any advice to the chair? You want to? Thank you. No discussion? Are you done with that? Okay, hearing no discussion, anybody laid over? Okay. We're doing pretty well today, that's going to help me. You want 1361 next?
Mr. Chair, I'd move House File 1361 be laid on the table for possible inclusion in the bill. This is a bill that undoes something that we did by mistake in 2007, in which we eliminated some programs that relate to prenatal or drug use, and this, I think, it reinstates those. Is that right? Dr. Deinert is...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
This bill will reinstate those fundings, is my understanding. And this is Dr. Amos Deinert.
Hello. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak. The money that is under discussion...
Oh, Dr. Deinert, would you identify yourself?
Oh, Amos Deinert from the University of Minnesota Department of Pediatrics and School of Public Health. The money that's under discussion at this moment, the $75,000, was allocated two sessions ago, I believe it was, and into the Children and Family Services called silo of DHS. The program for which it is intended was moved at the same time to the silo of chemical and mental health. So until the dollars can be moved from one silo to another, they can't be used. And so the fix is to make them available to the program, and the program... Basically, the program that is being supported by these dollars is a program that's been funded by DHS and to the University of Minnesota since 1991. It's called Circle of Women, and it's the sober parenting program that is aimed at working with moms who are identified during pregnancy or shortly after delivery as substance users to make better parents out of them using an intervention called Steps Towards Enjoyable and Effective Parenting, STEEP, developed by my colleague Byron Eglin and Marty Erickson at the university in the mid-80s. And so we're working to improve parenting so these mothers don't lose their children to child protection and foster care, et cetera, but stay with the biologic mother. And at the same time, we're taking advantage of community resources to help deal with their substance use. We are hopeful that we will be able to make application for and successfully for Rule 31 status, which will allow us in the future to provide the chemical and mental health services within our program and not have to rely on community resources.
Thank you. Any questions? This will free up some money then, is that point of it. Okay. Hearing no questions, the bill's laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you. I guess is next. Redson, help me. And this one was on the way. So I'll move the bill for you. If that moves, that House File 1704 be held over, heard and held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this one is, anytime you're trying to change the healthcare system, it gets controversial, but basically we have currently a 5% withhold that we give the managed care plans that take care of Minnesota medical assistance and Minnesota care. And that withhold then is given back to the health plans if they meet certain criteria of performance for that year. And that's a 5%. What this says is that this bill says that one of those things that we will measure and use to evaluate whether they meet the conditions to get the withhold paid back to them is that they have to reduce the emergency room visits by their clients by 25%. And the reason for that is obvious. If you can prevent somebody from going to an emergency room, you can generally save money if they get a regular office visit or the health plan does something to prevent them from needing to go to an emergency room, then we can save money. I'll say that this is, again, a work in progress, and that we'll have discussions certainly when we bring this up for the omnibus bill, but the one thing I've become convinced of over the past couple of years is that if you want to save money in health care, you have to keep people out of the hospital. And our current system doesn't reward people for keeping people out of the hospital. It rewards them really well if they get really sick and get treated in the hospital. So this is an attempt to try to reverse that trend. The health plans don't like it. They told me they wouldn't testify against it today. But they're not sure how it will work, and we'll have probably 3 weeks for them to come and discuss how we could make this work.
Mr. Sheriff, you're suggesting the managed care plans actually manage the care? Is that what you're having them do?
That's the point of the withhold, and you're sort of taking words out of my mouth.
Oh,
I would
sorry.
Say the opposite of managed care is unmanaged care.
Thank you. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know, maybe the opposite of managed care is really managed care. I don't know. It's an interesting topic. But anyway, Representative Huntley, what I wanted to ask was, I think we all agree that it's better to have medical care not occurring in emergency rooms if it can be avoided and if that's expensive and so on. But for whom does this really save money? Because the plans are, you know, we pay them on a capitated basis, and then if they keep people out of emergency rooms, doesn't that really save money for them? I mean, how does this, other than having the shift, the withhold obviously is kind of a budgetary shift for us to help us with our current budget, but at least correct me if I'm misunderstanding how this all works, but, you know, other than that, how does it save us money?
Well, there would be less spending on health care, and granted, the return for that in the short term would be to the health plan, because they would be spending less money than their capitated rate. However, if they don't do that, I mean, they get two benefits from doing this. First, they'll retain more money. They'll have to pay less to hospitals. Secondly, they'll be able to meet the 5% withhold requirement, and so they'll get that money. But at the same time, we will hopefully have changed they will help change the healthcare system so that the emphasis is on preventing people from needing to go to the emergency room and getting their care in another manner. A typical example of that would be emergency room visits for dental care. There's absolutely no need for that. It costs a lot of money. The emergency room can't do a good job of what they're supposed to do. And so they give pain relief visits to the person. They charge the health plan the fee for the emergency room visit. And then they refer the person to a dentist. So maybe the health plan can figure out how we just skip the emergency room and send that person directly to a dentist to start with. So that's an example of where this might work. You are correct, however, and I had thought about this, but this won't show up in our budget in the short run. It will show up, however, when we redo the capitation rates 2 years from now, if the spending has been a lot less. And again, this is to try to convince the healthcare systems and the health plans to focus on prevention, to focus on healthcare homes, to focus on cost-effective ways to treat people.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Huntley. I mean, I think the theory is a great one. I just, you know, since we have so much difficulty finding out what the plans actually spend for care, I have to say I don't have lots of confidence that we're going to recapture the savings. That's just my, you know, the issue. I hope that between now and then we could find a way to recapture those savings, because actually I think since we're paying them a capitated rate, in theory they have the incentive now to, you know, reduce their costs. And so I hope we can get a good handle on that as we go along. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, actually, in Bristol Leland, they really don't have an incentive to keep their rates low because they get increased every year based upon the fee-for-service and MA and all that. So People don't like penalties, and so maybe you and Senator Berger are onto something. So we'll see how it turns out in 3 weeks.
Again, like the previous couple of bills, this also, or the first bill, this gives us an opportunity to try to get a fiscal note from the Department of Human Services. They have it already?
Wow. Mr. Wall, do you want to just tell us what the fiscal savings is?
Mr. Chair, members should have a fiscal note that has been passed out for Bill Senate File 1402, which shows savings to the state of $322,010, growing to about $1 million plus in 12 and 13, I believe. About $950,000 in fiscal year 11, and growing beyond $1 million after that. The text in the fiscal note does not exactly explain to Representative Liebling's question how the savings materialize. I'm assuming they would be reductions in a negotiated rate with the health plan, but it's not specific.
Any more questions, members? So that's laid over for conclusion, and we have the say the best for last. Homework.
Mr. Chair, this one does not save money. So I would move House File 1167 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. But some of you may know that the governor unallotted roughly... I would have to do the amendment first. There's a delete all the DE1. I would move the DE1 amendment.
And the DE1's been moved. Do you want to... Drew cut it quite a bit.
Basically... All you really have to do, if you want to understand it, is go to the last page on Section 5 is sort of the summary of what's happening here. And one of the things the governor did was unallot $38 million from this program, which is called the Medical Education Research Cost, or MERC. Basically, it doesn't do research. What it does is help fund graduate medical education. There's a small amount of money that goes to people getting an MD or people getting other kinds of healthcare degrees, but by and large, the big bulk of the money goes to help fund our residency programs around the state. And so the governor, faced with the fiscal crisis this past session, cut them by $38 million. What this would do is restore that $38 million. And some of you may know that we have already received from the feds in the stimulus package for about $450 million of medical assistance money for the current year that we're in. So in effect, we did not have a shortfall in that. So this is one unallotment that I would like to reverse. And most of these residency programs, particularly the ones that deal with primary care, are in financial difficulty. So this would restore that $38 million to them.
And that's how many the allocation is exactly as it was unallotted then?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Gottlob. Is that your question?
That's my question.
You can make up a new one if you want. Counting on you.
Question,
Mr. Chair. Thanks.
Oh, go ahead. You couldn't. I just wanted to point out that, you know, with the money we're getting from the stimulus package, I know I've also heard from some of the hospitals who would like to see some unallotments back and so forth. So as we're dealing with the unallotments, I suppose we should figure out how much is going where at some point.
Justin, help me.
Well, in the the way I understand it, we got about $450 million for this current biennium that we're in. And that goes to the bottom line. But we do, as a legislature, have to appropriate that money. So we do have control. The governor's suggestion is that we spend about half of it in the current year and hold over till next year the other half of it. But my understanding is we have to appropriate it.
Representative, help me. On Friday, we're supposed to hear something about a plan. Is this going to be just a foreshadowing of something that might be in there on Friday? You don't have to tell me. Other questions from members? We could get done early, couldn't we? Is that the end of your work?
That's the end of it.
We have to adopt the amendment, I'm sorry. We have to adopt it, EE1. Any questions about that?
Aye.
We have to do that? We didn't adopt it, though. Okay. Anybody really want to vote on this or not? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thanks for getting me out of that. And the bill is laid over. Representative Huntley, do you have any announcements or news or anything you want to tell us before we get out of here?
No, other than we're still working on our what our targets are going to be. And I will say that this committee has sort of the toughest job of dealing with the stimulus package, because the biggest chunk of the stimulus package is medical assistance money. But we don't yet know what the strings are attached to that money. And so we're just going to have to make some assumptions about what the strings are and go ahead and do it, and then we may have to change what we've done. But it's a very complicated mixture of things that, for instance, we know we can't reduce eligibility, but it's not clear what eligibility is for a lot of medical assistance programs. It's not a really a clearly defined term. The last time this sort of thing happened, it was in 2003, and the Bush administration gave their interpretation of what the strings are, and we don't know if the current president's administration is going to put more strings on or less strings, so we just don't know, but we're going to have to go ahead and make those decisions in a couple of weeks.
And tomorrow we're hearing from the department about the updates to the governor's budget. And will they know some more? Is there more that they can tell us tomorrow about strings and MOE and all that, do you think? Or do you know all there is to know about that?
Well, we just met with them, and they think, you know, that things are going to be this way, but they really don't know, and this is a real holdup nationally.
Okay, well, any other business to come? We were getting out of here earlier. We're adjourned. Oh, wait. Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
I'm not as careful as you. If you could promise me, you know.